Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, the show where you get your marvellous questions in, and we do our very best to give you some half-decent answers back. This week, we got two great questions coming up. But before we get going, here's just a quick reminder of how you can get involved yourself.
We don't make it too difficult for you. All you've got to do is give us a call on 013 808 0035 or head over to propertyhub.net/ask. Either one of those methods will allow you to leave us a voicemail, get your question recorded, it'll wing its way over to us, and we, in the fullness of time, will answer it, just like we're about to do now for Lily.
Hi Rob and Rob, my name's Lily, I'm a regular listener. Thanks so much for your great podcast. I recently put in an offer on a leasehold flat in a grade 2 listed building. It was accepted, but then I just had my full building structural survey done and it did not get a clean bill of health at all. The owners haven't taken good care of the building, even though cosmetically the building looks gorgeous. My question is, would that be enough to make you walk away from a purchase, or would you try to use this to get a heavy discount on the sale price and nab a deal? What rights do leaseholders have when it comes to how much financial burden they will receive with like repairs? I'm worried I'm walking into a money sinkhole. I'd love your advice. Thanks so much.
Hey Lily, thank you for your question. I'm going to actually reverse your questions around and start with the second question around the financial burdens and then come back to the negotiation or the walking away points. But before I get into any of that, let's just tackle the survey itself. Your survey may be correct and you may be right to be nervous. However, I'd be very surprised to see any survey done on any grade 2 listing building that didn't have quite a bit of information coming back to you, because they do. That's the whole point of a survey, is to give you everything that's wrong. You might be quite right. It might be things that are really bad and that you need to pay attention to, or it could be just par for the course. Having somebody else who's a little bit more experienced than you, someone who's possibly bought a listed building before, to give you some advice may be worthwhile, or ask for additional feedback from your surveyor. Again, to just get a better understanding of what you should be concerned about. Now, if you've done that, let's move on. So, what rights do you have? Well, you don't have any rights at all, and the financial burden could be huge. So what I would ask to do is to see a copy of the service charges from the year before and see how much is in the sinking fund. The sinking fund is just a pot of money that is put aside for repairs. Now, you would expect that this property, being the age that it is, will have some sort of sinking fund. How much, though, is important. So you want to get that number and see, will it make a meaningful difference? That pot has already been built up before you purchase. So if it's a sizable number, then actually it could take away a lot of the problems and a lot of the headaches that you're looking at. But if it's not, though, and your survey is grim, well, then you need to move on to either walking away or negotiating. And you use all that information at first to negotiate. Work out roughly what you think your contribution will be in the future, and I appreciate that's pretty hard, so just be really conservative, and then start to negotiate based on that number. If the problems are pretty bad, then the owner may already be aware of it, so that could help your cause. But by producing all the evidence, reminding them of what's in the sinking fund or what isn't, showing them the survey, adding the additional feedback that you've taken from others, will put you on a decent footing to have a strong negotiation. Where it may fall foul is that the seller might not be in a position to accept a lower offer. So you have to take that into account. And if that is the case, or they just don't want to entertain it, well, then you end up walking away. So there's a few things to navigate through before you walk away. And hopefully you can get a deal done. And hopefully it's not as bad as you first think. But now you've got a lot of information to work with. And I hope that helps. Cheers, Lily.
All right, let's move on to another question now from Thomas.
Hi, Robs. I've got a couple of buy-to-let properties. And at the moment, I just leave the money in the bank and don't really do a lot with it. I was just wondering, in the meantime, while it builds up enough to get another property, which is what I want to do, is it worth investing it in, say, shares? Because I've had a look at like an app called Moneybox. Just wondering if that was a good idea. Wanted to know your thoughts on it. Thanks.
Thank you for the question. And I'll give you the most totally responsible answer, and then I'll give you a variation on that answer, because understandably it's not a lot of fun to just have money in the bank right now. The completely responsible answer is no, you shouldn't do that. If you are trying to save up and you're trying to save up to buy a property and buying the property is the most important thing, everything else is just a bit of a sideshow, then you shouldn't be investing with it. Investing and saving are different things. As soon as you take your money out of the bank and you use it for some kind of investment, whatever it is, you're always taking on some kind of risk. Doesn't matter what it is, there's always going to be a risk attached to it. While your money's in the bank and you're saving rather than investing, your risk is next to nothing. Each bank guarantees up to £85,000. So if you've got more than that, if you spread it across different banks, then you need a lot to go wrong. You basically need the government to be in such a state that they can't honour the guarantee, even if all the banks go bust, for you to lose money. So it's a pretty safe place to be. Now, of course, at the moment, while your money is there, although it's safe, it's not earning much for you, if anything. At the moment, any rate of interest that you can get, any bank account, is very, very low and lower than the rate of inflation, which means although you're saving and the amount of money is going up, the money that you've accumulated is gradually declining in real terms. It's losing purchasing power because the interest rate you can get is just so low. And that is why the temptation obviously is there to go and do something with it, to make it feel like your money's working harder until you've got enough of it saved up to buy the property. And with property, you do, of course, need to have saved up quite a lot so your money can be sitting there for a long time not earning any money and losing money in real terms. That's why I'm going to acknowledge the fact that even though that is the responsible thing to do, you might be tempted to do otherwise. And if you do, there's a couple of things I'd keep in mind. The first is to make sure that you're not going to need to use that money to buy the property for at least a year, really more like 2 years. It's generally said you should only invest in the stock market for a minimum of 5 years. A couple of years gives you far less time to ride out the peaks and troughs, but it's still better than, say, putting your money in for 6 months. The other thing I'd do is look very carefully at what I was investing in. So I'd be looking to invest in shares that are as boring as possible, where the prices tend not to have big movements. So for example, over recent weeks, we've seen some of the biggest, shiniest, most exciting names in the stock market, the likes of Tesla, for example, lose practically a third of their value in the space of just a few weeks, because those are growth stocks that tend to be very volatile and tend to be very much exposed to what is going on in the market and in the world in general. At the same time, there are other shares in more boring companies, like utilities, for example, where they do still change in value, but by nowhere near as much. And if you are looking for something you can do with your money for a couple of years and then pull it out and buy property with, you don't want the excitement. You want as boring as possible, but just a better return overall than you would get from leaving your money in the bank. So those are some things that you can think about. Overall, really, the safest thing to do is just take it on the chin and deal with the fact that your money is not going to be working for you while you're saving up. The way to comfort yourself is look at the return that you will be getting once you have bought the property, because you'll presumably be using leverage, and because you've got the opportunity to buy well, because you've got time to do your research while you're saving up, hopefully you'll go and get yourself a really good deal. So even if you factor in all this time when it feels like your money's just sitting there doing nothing, by the time you've actually made that investment, it'll all be worthwhile.
So thank you, Lily. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for your questions. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the Property Podcast. So only a few days to wait for your next property fix. And of course, we'll be back next Tuesday with Ask Rob and Rob. So until then, take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.